May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 75. Behold the potter and the clay. He forms his vessels as he please. Such is our God and such are we, the subjects of his high decrees. Hymn number 75.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapters 3 and 4. Hebrews, chapter 3 and 4. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that build all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the Holy Spirit's aid in prayer. O Lord, we come a little company of poor needy sinners, as we are favoured to gather again in this house of prayer. But oh, we pray that thou wilt come and gather with us, and to make thy mighty power known in our midst. For Lord, thou knowest we each stand in great need. For we are sinners, we have nothing of our own to commend ourselves to thee, and we come before thee now in all our wretchedness and spiritual poverty and insufficiency, seeking that thou wilt look upon us in thy divine compassion, and have mercy upon poor sinners. But Lord, we would come with faith in exercise in our hearts, that as we come, there may be a desire to lay hold of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the heavenly Mediator, the one that stands between a poor sinner and a holy God, the one that is now at the Father's right hand, interceding for thy dear people. For Lord, we would come pleading the sufficiency and merit of his sacrifice, his atonement, his precious blood, his glorious righteousness for our acceptance. Lord, may we, ere we leave thy house this night, may we have that sweet persuasion in our hearts that we are amongst those favoured characters who have been made accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we are unworthy, thou knowest, but our hope alone is in the person of the dear Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for poor sinners. But Lord, we would come now and acknowledge that condition, as we would desire to confess our many, many sins. Lord, that we may know that broken heart, a contrite spirit, which thou dost give to thy dear people. For Lord, we would not be left to an empty profession, a false repentance. Lord, it's thy Holy Spirit's work alone. Oh, leave not any of us to be deceived. And Lord, if we are deceived, oh, do come and undeceive us. Lord, show to us where we are and bring us away from all hope in anything else but of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, in what he has done, the ground of a poor sinner's hope, the foundation of their faith. Oh, might it please thee to bow down thine ear this night and hear the poor cries of thy people as they've gathered in thy house, graciously exercised concerning their never-dying souls, concerning eternity and the solemnity of being found out of Christ in that last great day. Oh, Lord, do come where thy dear people are, for thou knowest those who feel to be in the horrible pit and the miry clay. And Lord, how that clay clings to their feet. They cannot deliver themselves. The clay of this world and the things of it. Oh, Lord, do come and lift our poor sinners out of that wretched state found in by nature. And Lord, that souls might even this night be brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel, to be enabled to testify to the wonders of thy grace, having brought them out of that horrible pit and the miry clay, and set their feet upon a rock, and established their goings. Lord, we pray then, oh, that thou wilt work mightily this evening, and oh, may the word go forth in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. For truly, Lord, we deserve nothing at thy hand, thou knowest, but we are poor and needy, and our hope alone is in the person and work of the dear Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray then, thou break through all those clouds of unbelief and sin, those things that come between our souls and a precious Christ. Lord, do remove all those obstacles. And Lord, we pray that there may be that exercise found in our hearts, waiting to hear what thou wilt speak unto us. And Lord, we pray for grace to receive it, whether it is a way of reproof, a word of correction, a word of encouragement, a word of reproof. Lord, thou knowest, we fear being deceived, and thy dear people know it, how everything is brought into question. But Lord, thou remainest. Thy truth is the same. Thy promises remain, Lord, and thou art faithful that promised. And what thou hast said, thou wilt fulfill. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Lord, we pray, thou grant to us a sweet glimpse of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, this night. Lord, may we lose sight of everything here below, the things of time and sense, those things that have cluttered our minds throughout the day. Lord, as thou hast favoured us to be found here this night, oh, do come just where we are. And oh, do grant those blessings, those spiritual blessings, thy dear people have been waiting for, suing for at the throne of grace, that cannot rest satisfied until thou dost grant that blessing, that sweet word from thyself, son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Lord, we pray then for each one here this night. Thou knowest, Lord, the paths we each walk in, the trials, the troubles, the afflictions, the temptations. Lord, the weakness felt, the insufficiency known, the unbelief within our hearts. Oh, Lord, do come this night and appear for us in all our tribulations, troubles and distresses, and lift us up above these things, Lord, that we, our hearts might be taken up with a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the wonders of his love and mercy in all that he passed through as he manifested that love to his dear people as he suffered and shed his blood and died, that thy dear people might live eternally. Lord, may we hear that precious word spoken, because I live, ye shall live also. Lord, we pray for the dear young friends that have gathered and those not here detained. Remember them in much mercy. Preserve and keep them in their youthful days. Keep them from the enticements of the world, from being carried away with the attractions of it. Might it please you to work in their young hearts, in their youthful days, that they may be found true seekers after thee, out of a felt sense of their need of thee and thy great salvation. Preserve them, Lord, from the many evils and dangers with which they're surrounded. And Lord, we pray that they may know continually the restraining influence of the dear Holy Spirit's work in their hearts, preserving and keeping them from evil. And Lord, oh, that thou wilt richly bless them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those older in life. Lord, thou knowest those who have to wrestle with the things of time and sense, when their hearts would be centered on things above. A precious Christ, Lord, do keep them. Preserve them, Lord, in their various pathways. Sanctify those paths to them for their spiritual profit and thy honour and thy glory. And Lord, we pray for those older in life. Some of us, Lord, have lived the greater part of our lives, and soon we shall have to bid adieu to all things here below. Oh, may it be our great, our chief concern to have the Holy Spirit's testimony in our hearts that we are born of God, and that our treasure is above, and that we have a glorious prospect when called from time to eternity to be forever with the Lord and Saviour. Oh, leave not any to be in doubt. Leave not any to be deceived. Leave not any to be satisfied short of a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and Him crucified for us. We pray, Lord, for those who carry the responsibility here. Remember them in much mercy. The two deacons, Lord, we bear before thee. Thou knowest the wisdom they feel to need. The grace, Lord, continually they feel their need to have supplied. Lord, do grant to them thy upholding grace. And may they be given wisdom and strength to do those things which are right in thy holy sight. Send real spiritual prosperity in this church and congregation, we pray. Oh Lord, may there be those times when there will be an abundance of rain upon those souls that gather, the precious gospel dispensed in all its beauty, applied to the poor sinners' hearts, hungering and thirsting after Christ. Lord, we pray that there yet may be an ingathering of precious souls brought to testify of thy goodness and mercy to them and the wonders of thy grace. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest, Lord, where they're labouring this night. Thou knowest the weakness, the poverty and the insufficiency we feel, for Lord, thou knowest we have nothing. Our whole dependence is upon thee. And we pray that thou, in thy infinite mercy, hear the cries that have gone up to thee before the services, Lord, that thou wilt come and give the word and clothe the word with power, that something might be done in poor sinners' hearts for eternity. Lord, we pray for Zion, thy one church. Thou seest the solemn state in Zion today, the solemn state in our own little group of churches. How few gather in thy earthly courts. how little power is known and felt in the preaching and hearing of the word. Oh, there's a great withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit in the day in which we live. And Lord, thy dear people know it, feel it, grieve over it. And Lord, come to thee continually, pleading that thou wilt yet appear, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, Lord, that souls, oh, may be raised up, brought out of bondage to unbelief and self and the world, the bondage to many fears. Lord, thou alone canst bring them up, and we pray that thou wilt in this place, if it could please thee, Lord, that there yet may be raised up a generation here to serve thee and to call the Redeemer blessed. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest our great need, and thou knowest the needs of the people. Lord, do come this night just where we each are. And Lord, we pray that ere we leave thy house, something will have been accomplished in our poor hearts, wherein there will be a spirit of praise and gratitude upon our lips for what thou art and what thou hast done. And now, Lord, we would thank thee for all thy mercies and favours bestowed upon us, how many and great they are. Lord, we are undeserving of them, for indeed we have to bear witness each day. Thou dost not deal with us according to our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. Thou dost remember poor sinners in mercy. And now let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, as we ask of these petitions, seeking the pardon of every sin. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn number 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake and fear when they before him must appear? Hymn 666.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 9, the 9th verse of the 4th chapter in Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The immediate context to this word, as we were reminded in that preceding chapter, was the case of the children of Israel, who in the wilderness, despite God's love and mercy, how he wonderfully delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, brought them through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and provided for their every need. We find the children of Israel murmuring, rebelling against the Lord, and turning against his servant Moses, and even created an idol in the wilderness to worship. This, the Lord's people, whom the Lord has so graciously delivered them out of Egyptian bondage and brought them and promised to them that they would enter into the promised land. And we find that there were only two characters who came out of Egypt, entered into the promised land, and that was, they were Caleb and Joshua. All the others perished in the wilderness. And we find so great was that sin of unbelief within their heart. We read, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And the Apostle Paul then goes on to seek to exhort the Hebrews to whom he wrote of that great need that they should not be found in that state of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The word in our text speaks of this rest, and it is that rest we would desire to speak a little of this evening. That rest which remaineth to the people of God, firstly, as we consider the one wherein that one is brought to rest, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by true living faith. And secondly, this rest which is the prospect of all of the Lord's people when called from time to eternity to enter into their eternal rest. Now the word says this, there remaineth. Implied in that word is that which will be removed, that will be taken away, that thereby there is that which remains. And it is that which under the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit, when they're quickened into divine life, brought to see their great need, the solemn state therein, in their own spiritual condition, and in the light of eternity, when the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to see where they are, the path they're walking in, their conduct through this world, and to see that it is, it is described in that epistle to the Ephesians, dead in trespasses and in sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Dear friend, this is an accurate description of your condition and mine in an unregenerate state, dead in trespasses and in sins. But what a mercy if the Lord calls us by his grace and brings us to a realization of this solemn truth, the condition in which we are found, because we shall never see it in God's light until our eyes are opened and the Holy Spirit shines into our benighted hearts and reveals to us what is there, and to realize this, that God is a holy God and a just God, and cannot countenance sin in any degree, that his commands have been disobeyed from the moment of our birth, and the solemn sentence passed, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, every child of God whom the Lord set his love upon in eternity past, chose them in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he would display the wonders of his grace, will know that condition in which they are found by nature. In some, it's made known in a deeper degree than others. Some have to walk in deep paths. Some walk in great spiritual distress of mind, as the Lord brings that one to know this solemn truth. But all are brought to see this, that they deserve nothing at God's hand but eternal punishment forever. That hymn that we've just been singing, reminding us of that last day, when the righteous and the wicked will all be there to call to an account for the things that have been done in the flesh, both good and evil, and to stand before the piercing eye of a holy, heart-searching God. And it is this truth that child of God is brought in a measure to realize, to consider that awful state they're found in by nature, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, brought into soul distress, and to come and plead with God that they'd remember us in mercy. My dear friend, all of the Lord's people are brought in varying degrees to walk in that path. But you see, it's to learn this, some vital lessons that you and I will learn under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And those lessons are these, that we deserve nothing at God's hand but eternal punishment forever. To learn this lesson, that we have no strength of our own, no power of our own to deliver ourselves from that condition, to feel that condition and the prospect before us, but to have no strength to do anything about that condition, but to come under the dear, with the dear Holy Spirit's gracious aid, to plead with God for mercy, acknowledging that we've sinned against Him, a holy God. The path of the Lord's people, whereby they're brought to know these solemn truths, it is to see their need. Not only to see their need, but to feel their need. And not only to feel their need, but the earnest, the urgency that that need which they have should be supplied. For they see that unless they're the subjects of God's mercy, unless the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to lay down his life, to atone for their sins, and suffer, and shed his blood, and die at Calvary, their souls are eternally lost. And it's these things brought home to a child of God brings them into a great concern, and to come and see that their great concern is this, the state of their never dying soul and their prospect for eternity. Beloved friend, you see the Lord by his dear Holy Spirit is graciously leading that one to see where mercy is found in the dear Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done, because that great work that he accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary was a perfect atonement for the sins of the whole election of grace, all of the Lord's people who ever lived and will live upon this earth before the world, time that the angel of God will declare that word, time shall be no more. He came to save his people from their sins. And it is that which is brought home to a child of God in soul distress. Their one chief desire is to know that they're amongst those favoured characters whose sins were laid upon a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, all atoned for, put away forever, and their souls reconciled to a holy God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, you hear these truths from this pulpit set continually before you. But you see, if ever we're to know the precious truth of this text, we are going to know what we've been saved from before we know what we have been saved to, and how it is that great salvation work was accomplished, that his dear people might be reconciled to a holy, holy God. Now, under the Holy Spirit's teaching, there's much that you and I will have to lose. Those things that once we were satisfied with, perhaps it was a fleshly religion, one that you were content with attending the Lord's house to hear the gospel preached, but you knew nothing about it. You had no real desire to know about it. Satisfying a carnal conscience that they had been in the Lord's house. Beloved friend, oh, that's one of those arch deceptions of the enemy to our souls. If he can have a soul resting short, resting upon a form of religion, a formal profession, my dear friend, he knows they're safe in his hands, that is, in the devil's hands. Again, my dear friend, we may have a fleshly religion, that which is of the flesh. Yes, we may be able to speak of spiritual things, not because we know anything about them, but because we've heard others speak of them, and it seems so gracious to speak of those things in a gracious way. But never knowing anything of the reality of those things that they're speaking about. You see, beloved friend, we shall have to lose all hope in self, all trust in self and the creature, and to come as every child of God comes to a holy God, in the words of Top Lady, nothing, nothing, I'm a helpless, destitute sinner, deserving nothing at thy hand, but to come and plead for mercy for Jesus' sake. And that's how you will come, my dear friend, as the Lord brings you and me away from all false hopes, delivers us from resting in those false refuges. Perhaps we've been resting in the opinions of others, resting upon our own view of ourselves and our own condition, and passing a carnal judgment upon it, and convincing ourselves that we're amongst the Lord's people. You see, the Lord's people want a testimony of their interest in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot be satisfied without it. To know that their souls are eternally safe and that all their sins have been put away forever at Calvary. Nothing else will satisfy that longing soul. And so the Lord brings his people to see how helpless they are, how undone they are, but to cast their all upon God's mercy in Jesus Christ. That's how you'll come, my dear friend, those seeking souls here. The Lord, by his dear Holy Spirit, has opened your eyes. You begin to see a little of your great need. You're conscious of your many sins as the Holy Spirit comes and reminds you of them. And you realize this too, how helpless you are to prevent yourself from being carried away with those sinful thoughts and sinful desires. You feel so helpless. Well, my dear friend, if the Lord has begun that good work in you, he'll carry it on until the day of Jesus Christ. But he'll carry it on, sustaining you, granting to you all sufficient grace, and enabling you to continually call upon his name, seeking that he would remember you in mercy. The Lord, when that work of grace begins in the heart of a poor sinner, those little ones, my dear friend, I believe the Lord takes especial care when they're very tender, they're very vulnerable. You see, the devil knows. He observes what is taking place in that young heart and knows the concern and exercise they have. And he knows how weak they are to resist his temptations. And oh, how he seeks, as it were, to destroy the life, if he could. But he never will. But the Lord, I believe, takes that especial care of those lambs in his fold. We read this. He carries the lambs in his bosom, and gently leads those that are with young. Oh, what tender compassion the Lord displays toward these seeking souls And my dear friend, amidst all your fears, wondering whether you're deceived, the devil tells you are. You feel so ignorant, you feel to know nothing, and everything seems to be against you. My dear friend, the Lord is mindful of you, and he is that one who secretly upholds each one of those little lambs and carries them and bears them along and preserves them from those enemies around them. And so, in these paths, the Lord shows to us we have nothing, we can do nothing, and we deserve nothing. You know where the Apostle Paul came to? I am nothing. You know, dear friend, if we are brought there, we can't get much lower than that, can we? To feel to be nothing. But you know, it's where the Lord will bring us, that he might be everything to us, our all and in all, the sufficiency of that grace which he bestows upon his dear people, sustaining and upholding them. It is now, it is to the Lord Jesus Christ that one looks, their only hope of reaching heaven at last is in the glorious person of the Saviour and what he is and what he has done. You see, we lose much. It's painful to the flesh. It's opposite to our nature. You see, all pride is brought down. Those towering views we had of ourselves, even of our own profession once, all brought to nothing. To see that we deserve nothing at his hand, but to plead with him, with God, to remember us in mercy. And you know, beloved friend, when he brings you there, when we've lost those things, and when the dear Lord in his time, and he does, visits that poor soul and speaks into their heart, gives to them a token of his love and mercy to their souls. Perhaps he spoke that word, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Perhaps he said this, amidst all your turmoil, the struggles that you have with your own wicked heart, the enemy to your souls. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The condescension of the dear Lord Jesus Christ in his dealings with his people, as he deals with them tenderly, as he leads them on fair Zion's way. The rest, there is this rest which remaineth unto the people of God. And you know, it's the only place of rest here below. Many seek it. Many seek for this peace. It ever evades them. My dear friend, a child of God, when brought to know their own spiritual condition, feeling condemned in their own hearts, and to have a visit from the dear Lord Jesus Christ, speaking into your heart, son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Beloved friend, they'll be more precious to your soul than anything you've ever known in your soul's experience. It is nothing. The world is nothing compared with these spiritual blessings which are found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, reserved for his dear people. That rest that remaineth to the people of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of, isn't he, as that refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. And it is where the Lord's people are constantly fleeing unto Christ from all their troubles, their distresses, the power of the enemy to our souls, the power of evil within our own hearts, the enticing influence of the world. A tender-hearted soul is found fleeing to Christ. There they will find that shelter that they long to feel. The refuge of poor sinners. Well, my dear friend, do we know that rock of ages? As the old hymn books used to record it, rock of ages, shelter me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from its thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its wrath, guilt and power. At the place of rest for his dear people. Have you known it, my dear friend? Do you long for it tonight? Is it that which you've been pursuing and wrestling for, as you know what is found within your own poor heart and how weak and poor and insufficient you are? Beloved friend, those who flee unto Christ will find that shelter. And that shelter, my dear friend, is not only from those things which are around us in this world. It's a shelter from the wrath of God, which is poured out upon the wicked, will be poured out upon the wicked one day. That wrath poured out upon the dear Lord Jesus Christ for his people in Gethsemane and at Calvary, that thereby his people might not know God's judgments on account of our many sins and transgressions. There is a rest that remaineth to the people of God. And my dear friend, it's that rest which we shall be found fleeing to, not occasionally, but I believe every day of our lives, as we are brought continually to see how we continually sin and how we have to flee to that precious fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, pleading to be cleansed, from our defilement through sin. The hymn writer, the psalmist knew it. Create within me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. This rest that remains to the people of God. And the Lord is watches over his people day and night as he waits to hear their cries as they continually flee unto him. Now, let us look at that rest which remains to his people when called from time to eternity. That eternal rest, heaven at last. It's those, my dear friend, who've tasted of that rest here below in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done. That rest is that inheritance, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And it is that inheritance that was purchased for his people in Gethsemane and at Calvary. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that time is rapidly approaching when that call will come to leave all things here below and to enter into that glorious inheritance. Now the exercise of the Lord's people is that exercise which was referred to in the last verse of that hymn we've just sung. It brings us to self-examination as to, am I ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? Vital questions, questions that arise continually within the heart of a truly exercised soul. You see, the concern is so vital. My dear friend, there will be those who will come in that last day as those foolish virgins did. They knocked. They believed. They had a faith to believe they would be admitted into the marriage supper. But they had lacked one vital point. They had no oil in their lamps. They were not in possession of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's people, I believe, will, as they draw near to their journey's end, they want a clearer view of our interest in the Lord Jesus. We want and have another token, another seal, that he has a favour towards us, another word of comfort in our poor hearts, assuring us that all our sins have been put away forever, never ever to be reckoned against us. You see, dear friend, that's a solemn thought, to have gone through our little lives making a profession of religion and then to come to the end and find we are found wanting at last. We do not possess that wedding garment, that garment of Christ's righteousness imputed to each one of his dear people, that righteousness wrought out in that great work he accomplished here below, and in his obedience to God's command, when he rose again from the dead, his dear people, there was the evidence, his people were justified in the person and work of the Lord Jesus, a perfect work completed ere the souls of his dear people, perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now let us consider for a moment, my dear friend, what prospect have you? What prospect have I? Do we have a hope of reaching heaven? On what is it founded? You see, there are many false hopes. Many assume these truths, that they are theirs, and they convince themselves that because they acknowledge the truth in their intellect, that thereby there are amongst these favoured characters who are brought to believe in the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, it means much more than that. This true living faith is an active grace. And as we walk through this wilderness here below, it will be constantly exercised. That faith that anchors in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done for our never dying souls. Oh, is it not your desire? I hope it's mine. The Lord would give to us a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, in the paths we walk in, the trials we are called to pass through, the tribulations, the temptations, wherein he is with his dear people, a clearer view of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonders of his grace, and to have a clear view of our interest in that great work of salvation that was accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary. He died that his dear people might live eternally. He knew all for whom he suffered. He knew all whose souls have been redeemed by his precious blood shed in Gethsemane and at Calvary. And in that last great day, my dear friend, if you're a child of God, knowing much of the trials and tribulations of the pathway here, but sweetly resting upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope of reaching heaven at last, my dear friend, one day you'll know the sweet and sacred reality of hearing that word, "Come in, thou blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Favoured characters, are we amongst them? Do we have a humble hope? Oh, beloved friend, may it so exercise our souls to have a clearer view of these things, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour, our souls have been redeemed, and that one day, that prospect which all of the Lord's people have of being forever with their Lord and Saviour, to sing his glorious praises eternally in that eternal song, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Will you be there? Will I be there? Oh, my dear friend, oh, may we not let that question rest unanswered until we have a token from the Lord himself that it was for us. He came into this world to redeem our souls and to bring us safely home to glory at last. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday next week. Let us close with hymn 45. "How can ye hope, deluded souls, to see what none e'er saw? Salvation by the works obtained of Sinai's fiery law." Hymn 45.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this night. But oh, those sacred truths, may they find an abiding place in many a soul, if it is thy holy will, that they might know the blessedness of that rest which remaineth to the people of God. Be with us now as we part. Watch over us, grant journeying mercies. Be with us through the remainder of our journey here below, and prepare us for a never-ending eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.